Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank God for all that He's doing. I love the work of the Holy Spirit, how He moves in our lives. You know, in order to win souls, it takes wisdom. One proverb said, "He that wins souls is wise." You're going to get a man to change his internal opinions in an opposite direction. And that takes the wisdom of God. And it said, the word of God said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And it takes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to win souls. So as we follow God, according to how He's been talking about, doing those specific things, we're using a wisdom that we really don't have to do God's word. I mean, to fulfill God's word. We know what the word wants to do. We know what the word says. But winning souls takes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And as He anoints us to do that, He enables, you know, He gives us the ability to anoint. We have God's ability to do it. And that's beyond us. So people are counting on us to be anointed. There are many people that will live if we will be anointed and obedient. God can anoint people all day, but if they're not obedient, it does no good. And when some things the Lord wants to do, He wants to do it through one person. See, the Lord, He don't just do things just to do it. He thinks of every option. And when He makes a decision, we need to pay attention to it. That decision, my friend, will work, even when it includes you. Now, the world system tries to get you to believe that you can't be a blessing. The world system wants you to believe that you're limited when you're not. Remember, we're made in God's image. We're made in His class. He made us to do what He does. We can love like He loves. We can understand like He understands. We can gain knowledge like He did. There's nothing we can't learn. And what we learn from the Lord can be used to be a blessing to mankind. And it's a challenge. Every part of what I'm saying has its own specific challenges. Because you have to believe in what He can do through you. You have to believe the word. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he was talking about two extremes. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Some people know how to be abased. They know how to survive, and no matter what happens to them in life, they find a way to survive and keep a good attitude. And sometimes people who know how to be abased, they just don't know how to abound. Because abounding takes vision. And no man can live beyond his vision. His vision has to be increased before he can live beyond his vision. Now, the anointing will cause you to live beyond your vision, but you didn't do it on your own. Some people, because they are anointed, they do and they are obedient. As they act on their anointing, things fall in place because they have God's ability to do these things. That's beyond them. And then they learn from the anointing. And they have, and they keep the vision. And I'm going to give some examples later. But there's something the Lord wants to get to. A man that has, we think the way we think until we see better. The world, everybody who the Lord called, they always had a reason not to do something. In most cases, they didn't. You know, we see David ran with his But he used to worship God. He used to go in God's presence. So we gain vision from going in God's presence, reading God's word. We gain vision through worship. We start understanding things spiritually. And anytime you start understanding things spiritually, you the door is open for you to gain new vision. And as you do the works of the ministry, you gain new vision. It's inevitable. But you have to make those adjustments that you can do what God says you can do. You can do what the word says you can do. Some people know how to abound, but they don't know how to be abased. They were born wealthy, and they learned how to manage money and stay wealthy. But when in the days when the stock market crashed, people committed suicide because they didn't know how to be abased. They didn't know how to go out there and do the groundwork. Vision doesn't have a foundation. The Lord taught me that. Faith does. There are many people who were born in good homes, and they everything was given to them, basically. Everything just fell in place like it should, you know, like parents would love it to be. They had good parents. Their parents worked hard. Sometimes their parents started off poor, and their parents worked hard to get things the way that they have them. They finished college, they got jobs, they worked the jobs, they prospered. And then they started a fund for their kids to go to college, and they bought them brand new cars. They never drove a used car, their kids. Now their kids get to enjoy all these wonderful, luxurious benefits. That's a blessing. It's the will of God even. But even though, let's say they start school, they start college, they really don't know how to go out and duplicate what their parents did. But they have expectation to do what they did. Until they hit the ground running, you know. There are some women, they come from a poor background. They go to college, they get a job, they get two jobs. And they put themselves through college, and they pay it as they go. Because they, you know, days when they couldn't get student loans, they did it that way. My brother-in-law, he worked as a waiter and put all of his siblings through college. You know, there are people that can do the groundwork. They know what it means to win. Now, that's like a man that has faith. All right? The children, they have to learn God for themselves. They have to learn to believe God for themselves. They have to learn to believe God who they can't see when their parents are not around to rescue them. If something happens where their parents can't help them anymore, their parents may die, or they may be in another country. They may have gone to another country. They can't get back. Things have changed. You know, the circumstances have changed. Now they got to do it themselves. They have vision and know that it's possible, but they don't know how to do it by their own faith. And they'll have to just learn, just like their parents did. Now, the chances of them surviving is high, because they have vision. But what about the person who had no vision? Everything was gloomy. They had to struggle for everything they've gotten. They know how to abase. Now, Paul knew how to abase and abound. That's two extremes. It takes two variant types of wisdom. The Holy Spirit has it. If we can learn from Him, we can do all things through Christ. The mind of Christ, the wisdom of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, all the same thing. All loves you. Father God loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And Jesus Christ, you know He loves you because He died for you. All by the will of God, which is all three. And they work together in one. They are one. And I thank the Lord for that. So the wisdom of God should never be taken lightly. We need to do all we can to comprehend what he's guiding us to do. He loves us, he cares about us, and he's going to help us make all the changes we need to make. So when we follow him, we grow. If we do it, if we can't, what I'm saying is, you can't limit ministry to your own understanding, to what you're comfortable with. And that's what most people do. Whatever they understand already, that's what they run the ministry with. Now, they read the Word of God, they run it the way they believe it. And sometimes when their belief is off track of the Word, they still run the ministry according to how they believe it, because that's the way they were taught it. And I've seen this happen in so many applications. When people were taught wrong, they work wrong. And they believe wrong. And they even make excuses for the wrong they do. And it's real to them. They're not necessarily trying to be evil. They just don't know any better. And they think they're right. Now, when Peter was on the rooftop, like I gave the example in the last broadcast, he was hungry. He was fasting, not because he was consecrating himself before God. He just didn't have any food. And he was waiting on the people to prepare the food. So his mind is on eating. And the Lord, he already sent, the angel sent the men to go get Peter. So Cornelius sent men to go get Peter. They went to get Peter. And Peter's up there hungry. And the Lord see him coming. He know they're coming. So he gave Peter these visions in time for him to know to go with those men. And he did. He was obedient. And then he learned something new. Now, before he went on the rooftop to learn these things, his persuasion was, we're going to minister salvation to the Jews, and maybe in 100 years we'll get to the Gentiles. Or maybe in 50 years we'll start preaching to the Gentiles, because Jews don't really have anything to do with Gentiles. And that was the persuasion. And now God is telling him, we're going to save Gentiles, and we're going to... And we got to do it this way. And a lot of people are not going to agree. And they didn't. A lot of Jewish people got offended. But they couldn't do anything about the fact that Peter said this is the way to go. Their leader, Jesus, had gone. He left Peter in charge. He was the chief apostle. Peter, James, and John. And they all agreed. And when the Holy Spirit fell on the people while he was teaching, they knew that this is the will of God undeniably. So Gentiles people started getting saved. And it started with the Gentile people in Jerusalem where they were. And it started with Cornelius' home. Now, all this happened. A change was made. All right. There are many, many changes that God wants to make among his people. You know, in the days of Kenneth Hagin, we were reintroduced to living by faith again. And people wrote him all kind of thousands and thousands of letters why he was wrong. But he got on the radio and taught faith. And people began to believe God again. And they began to seek God. They began to speak God's word. Then God anointed Charles Capps to teach people how to confess God's word. That was his main assignment. And he was very effective at it. And the Lord had different people to teach different aspects. But when people learned to believe God by faith, things started happening. Holiness people didn't, they believed in the power of God, not the faith of God. They didn't operate in faith as much as they did power. They would pray and worship God, and when the Holy Spirit moved, then people would get healed. But they didn't know how to live by their faith, and many still don't. because of the way they were taught and trained. And I've been there. They used to speak wrong about Kenneth Hagin. I was there. I know. But they couldn't, you know, a false persuasion can't stand up against the truth. Eventually the truth is going to win. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And I remember when the Lord would give me a message, I was on a quest to know God. I didn't want to just go through the motions of church life. I wanted to know God for who he was. So when I studied the word, I did my best to receive what he was saying. And I made adjustments along the way. And then I find things that were just taught, where I was taught wrong, and I make adjustments. I say, well, when the Holy Spirit give me a message, I know that I'm hearing something that's pure and I can trust it. Because I felt like I didn't know what to do anyway. So I said, well, Lord, I got to preach. You know I got to preach, so you got to give me a message. I don't know what to do. Now, that's right where God needs you to be so that you can learn something. I was a student. There wasn't no magic in it. I was just a student. I wanted to know him. I wanted to do it his way. So what happened was he would give me a message. And sometimes it went against the grain of the church beliefs. And I studied the word and I administered the message. And I learned from it. And then on the radio, you hear all kind of messages. And they all sound good. Unless you know better. But Kenneth Hagin stood out far above all of them. And so I made it my business to listen to his broadcast every day. And I love all the men of God. And I was blessed by many of them. And the ones that were taught by Kenneth Hagin, they had the most structure. So I was able to, it helped me to follow God even more. Because when you learn something true, it works together with all truth. Just like the Word of God does. It doesn't deny itself. And the Holy Spirit will help us with the specifics. See, the Holy Spirit is real-time Word of God right now with us. The Holy Spirit knows all the people that we're around. He knows the people that loves us. He knows the people that hate us. He knows the people that are indifferent. He knows our cousins. He knows what they can receive from us. And he'll have us to say what will help them the most. See, the Lord, he has a strategy. When you trust him, you're included with it. Now, there was a preacher who the Lord told me to tell him, the Lord's going to give you a message, but speak what he give you. Don't deviate from what he give you. So he heard that word and he knew what I said. But when he got time to preach, he preached something. And he would say, I'm going to preach something else. And the pastor said, you don't need to preach this Sunday. You preach next Sunday. I'm going to preach this Sunday. He had already changed course. Now, this really happened. And when the pastor got up there and preached, he preached the message God gave him in the first place, not the one he came up with. And then he came back and told me. He said, man, what you said, he told me what happened. He came back, man, what you said came to pass because the pastor preached the message God gave him. And I hope he never went back to doing it the wrong. But preachers are hard-headed sometimes. They can be just as stubborn as Satan. In that way, trying to do good, not bad. See, Satan is stubborn, and preachers can be just as stubborn when it comes to change. Now, that's just how it is. I hate to say stuff like that, but people can be so stubborn that they never learn the next step. You have to take the next step to learn something from God. And you have to be you have to have a soft heart. Now, last time we were talking about how a few broadcasts ago we talked about how rebellion forms, and also we're using the parable of the sower to show how to combat it, to keep rebellion from growing. and discord, strifes, disagreements with God. You know, we can kill it. We can kill those things. But we have to know how to, we have to know how to manage our heart. On the last broadcast, we made it to the stony hearts, and we touched on the seed that was sown among thorns. You know, verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure before time. After, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So what a person has to do when they have no roots, every time they get frustrated, they get off balance. If you want that to stop happening, all right, every time you get on, you get upset, the enemy gets you wound up and you're upset, you want to just throw in a towel. And then somebody, the Lord used somebody to build you back up. All right, that's going to happen again. You have to understand it's going to happen some more. You're going to have false attitudes. So what you have to do is see the enemy for what it is. You always have to recognize the problems don't just quit. They are, your problems are determined to kill you. That's why Satan sent them. So what you're going to have to do, my friend, is to receive God's word in that area and attack it. Let's say a person, he has rocks and he has stones in his heart. But he came from a good background. He knows how to abound. So when things change, he has to learn. He doesn't know how to abase, how to be abased. To kill the problem, you're going to have to learn how to be abased. You're going to have to learn how to live when life don't go your way. You're going to have to learn to live in that realm to conquer the other one. You're going to have to gain knowledge. You're going to have to get God's perspective. Now, there are many Bible stories, I'm just using that for an example, that show you people that were abased, and then they believed God along the way. They conquered their enemies, and they ended up with a great outcome, like you're going to do. You don't have to. You're going to win. Ultimately, you will win. But even if you die and go to heaven, you still win. Now, in this life, you got to determine to win. You need to determine, I'm going to win this. You don't know anything about how to do it, but the Holy Spirit inside you does. So you're going to use his knowledge. But you have to be receptive. And if you can be receptive, you can throw the rocks out of your heart. You can dig them out of your garden so that the word will grow deep so you can receive it and you'll overcome. Remember, even on the wayside, seeds can grow. Sometimes grass seeds can get between the cracks of cement. Now, see, that's a little bit different. It's hard ground, but the cement can hold moisture, and the seed will grow and come through the cracks. If that can happen with cement, it can happen with the hard ground too, eventually. People that have a hard heart, see, you can harden your heart or you can soften your heart. Now, most of the time people have a hard heart, something has to happen to them to shock them into reality. And then they start looking at things for what they are. But most of the time, people with a wayside heart don't make it. The devil keeps taking the word from them, and they just don't make it. They end up living with a hard heart, and they get worse and die. There are some that God may be able to save, but that's not often. Okay, the seed is sown amongst thorns. You can get the rocks out by the word of God. You can conquer it. We are conquering type people. We're more than conquerors. But you have to do it before the next challenge, because the next challenge might be the big one where you throw everything away. If that's been your track record, you got to double down in the word and ask God to help you secure your own destiny. Because Satan's trying to hijack you. All right. Now, here's another attack. Verse 18. Well, verse 17, we can get to the point where we're not offended. You know, in Christ, we can grow to the point that we laugh at the things that used to make us cry. We laugh at the same situations that we normally would have faulted in or failed in. And I asked the Lord to show me how to deal with things. I saw that I was being tempted, because that was my biggest problem in those days, in 88 and 87. I said, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I was honest with the Lord, but I wanted better. So when he gave me more knowledge, I received it quick because I was after it. Now, if you're after change, you'll receive it quick. And then once you got faith, you can kill the problem. And that's how I won. He told me what to do and what to change. And when he did, it made everything easier. He said, don't fear falling. And when he said that, I understood more than just don't fear falling. That meant a lot to me. And it helped. It pushed me over the edge on God's side. And I knew how to conquer the devil in that area. And I looked at women totally different. They had no power over me. Some women, when they come in, they know they command the room because they're pretty. And men, you know, they try not to look at them, or they're affected by how she looks. And they like it because that's what they do. They doll themselves up to do that. And to them, it's power. To men, you know, they feel subject and fearful. And then, but after what God taught me, I could see them and not see them. It didn't, you know, they were, it wasn't a big deal. So I said, this is cool. I can it doesn't bother me. Well, changes are made in the heart, and you can win. You find yourself laughing at Satan's best attack, and it has no effect on you like it did once. I thank God for it. I didn't know that could happen in those days, but after he taught me that, I had a good time learning these things and enjoying life. And you know, a lot of men struggle with that, and they can't go forward in life because they never learn to kill that problem. All right, now let's go on to verse 18 while we still have a few minutes. Verse 18 says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Again, you can kill this problem with your tongue. Your tongue is the rudder of your ship. That's the destiny changer. Speak God's word. Now, you know, when people are contrary, don't let them affect you. What they do out there has nothing to do with your heart. A person asked me once, how do you stay in peace when there's so much trouble going on? Well, I just keep it's like a party's going on in my heart. I'm rejoicing by the word of God, enjoying God's word. And whatever they do out there, that's what they're doing. And it has nothing to do with me. I learned to see things that way. And then I asked the Lord, how can I help? What can I say? What can I do to be a blessing? When people are angry, that's when they need you the most. So according to 1 Peter chapter 1, I love them with Jesus kind of love. Now, when it's close to home and people, you know, they don't agree with what you're doing, And if it's a problem, God got you doing one thing, they're not in full agreement with it. I work to build them up, family members, and friends that'll give you bad advice. I know in the past, I know what kind of advice they'll give. So I prepare for it. You don't have to live under the influence of the thorns. You have to control the thorns. You pull them out of your garden. You take away what the ties that the enemy will use to bind you. You take it from him. I'm going to love them no matter what, Satan. Whatever they do or say has nothing to do with what's in my heart. You guard your heart and protect it. And when if your mind is on buying a car and you can't afford it, and you're almost ready to go and sign the paperwork, and you know you don't need to do this, but you desire that car too much, just stop the desire. Say, I don't need a car to be complete. I am complete in Christ. I'm not going to buy the car. It's not wise for me to buy the car. I believe God for the car, and I get it in due time. And every time that thought comes back, that's how you kill it. I'll buy the car in due time. I will fix the foundational problems first. I'll pay my major bills off first. And I will do it God's way. And I will eventually get the car. But you don't have, see, with God, you don't have to get it. You believe right now, but you receive at the correct time. You don't want to get in debt. You don't have to get in debt to get riches. Believe God, and whatever needs to happen to get you to the point you can buy the car, it'll happen. And when you get the car, you're not going to be much better off. You're just going to have another car. And you got to wash it. You got to fix it, keep it up. But when people overspend, it's a hardship. And it don't let anything distract you from the Word of God. That's what the Scriptures are talking about. The lust of other things entering, it chokes the Word. Use the Word to choke it. Fill up on the Word of God and renew your mind, and it won't be a problem. We'll study this part again. But anything that causes you to be reluctant to the Word, use the Word to destroy it. Uh-oh, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life.